part four, and I'm just going to go straight into the word. We're looking at the third chapter in 2 Timothy. So I am going to read you the whole chapter 3, so just look to the screen or your phones or your Bible and just really concentrate on the word as we read it together. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. But you, Timothy, but you people who are sitting right here certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now we are going to focus this morning on verses 16 and 17. But I want to give you context for the passage of Scripture. It's really important to have context and understanding of what is happening in this chapter. And so Paul writes to Timothy, he's giving Timothy a reality check of the difficult times that he is facing and will face. And the reference to Jannes and Jambres and Moses, Jannes and Jambres were magicians, they were sorcerers under Pharaoh, and they imitated false miracles. They did false miracles, you know, the same, similar to what Moses did, but they were not of the God of God. And Paul references Jannes and Jambres because Timothy knew the Old Testament. He was trained and taught by his grandma and his mum the Scriptures. So he knew what Paul was talking about. And he brings this into this letter because these are the things that were happening at the time as well. This is such a pertinent scripture for us when we think about the things that are out in the world. When we think about Jannes and Jambres were basically, that's very dangerous to use magic or use sorcery or use anything that is, you know, not of God. It seems, you know, like it is, but it's not. It's very dangerous to oppose the truth in that way. And, you know, the day that the life that we are, you know, living in at the moment, that, you know, there is the occult, there is other religions that are not Christ and who do oppose the truth. And so we need to be taking hold of this letter as Paul has written to Timothy as a word of encouragement, where Paul says to Timothy, continue, remain faithful in what you know to be true. Continue and remain faithful in being steadfast in preaching and sharing the truth that is Christ Jesus. This is Paul's encouragement to Timothy. And you know, when I think about the world that we live in today, when, you know, talking about, you know, kids being ungrateful or disrespectful, there's a meme that I didn't even realise was out there until Richard told me about it, this phrase, you know, okay boomer. It's quite a disrespectful and derogatory way of, you know, looking at older people that our younger people are doing at the moment. And in our world where, you know, money is supposed to make us happy, or whatever feels good, you know, you do that. Whatever makes you happy, then that must be a good thing. And this is such a contradictory to what is truth. And we need to be people who are remaining faithful to the Word of God and to the truth that we know and what we have been taught. And so I want to hone in on just the passages of Scripture, verses 16 and 17, where it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. You know, as I was thinking about this, I remembered this letter that Richard had written before we got married. This is in our pre-marriage counselling, and he wrote what he wanted in a wife, and he wrote about me. And, you know, these words I have treasured. I think we're celebrating 20 years of marriage this year, and these words I have treasured for all this time. I keep it, you know, next to my bed with my Bible and my journals, and they're words of his love for me. And they are precious and they're valuable to me, and they mean something to me. When I shared to Richard, you know, I'm going to be just showing it. I won't read it out to you. And he said, make sure you don't lose it. I don't want you to lose that. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's God breathing his love to us through his Word. Through his Word. It's his love letter, his love book to us. It's incredible when we think about how God breathed, God inspired. This is the perfect word of God that he has, you know, brought to us through 40 plus writers over 2,000 years across three continents. He's put his word together. And when Paul is talking about all Scripture being God-breathed, he's talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, the whole of it, the complete work. Even though the New Testament was still being written at the time, it's the whole Word of God, God-breathed. You know, we need to treasure his Word. We need to treasure his Word in our heart. And it's profitable, it's useful for telling us what is true about God, what is true about people, the world we live in, and the world to come. It has everything in it. There's no other book like it. And so the Scripture in 2 Timothy, where it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for correction, for rebuking. It's like we don't particularly like to eat healthy food all the time, or have, you know, our greens in our diet, but we know it's good for us. And it's the same with the Word of God. God corrects us. He corrects us, and he rebukes us, and he does it in a way that when we're reading his Word, he will do it in a way that brings us to a place where we can confess those things that he has brought to light through his Holy Spirit breathing revelation on his Word as we read it. That he will correct us, and he does that out of love. God does everything from a place of love. And the reason that he wants to bring correction is to keep us safe, to keep us on his path of righteousness, to keep us in his protection. He knows what is so good for us. He knows what's best for us. And that's why he brings that correction, because out of that we are being trained in righteousness, and we are being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ. We're walking this journey of leaving the old things and those things that are not of God, that we don't need in our life, and we're becoming more and more like him. When I was a very new Christian, the Lord corrected me with my words, and you may not believe it, but most of my, you know, language was foul language. It wasn't very pleasant language. It was, you know, swearing and things like that. It wasn't out of aggression or anything. It was just part of how I talked, you know. My sentences just had that in my vocabulary. And yeah, that was one of the first things that God just highlighted in me. And there's scriptures, you know, Ephesians 4:25, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And as I read more and more of scripture, that I understood how, you know, words can bring life and death. And there's power in our words. God spoke the universe into existence. How powerful is our tongue and our words. And so it's good for us to be corrected. It's good to allow the Lord to do that in our heart. It's good for us. And how much more can I bring words of life and encouragement through speaking his word than the foul language? God is good. When we are in his word, it's the Holy Spirit who will bring conviction to sin. And I've been thinking about that and thinking about, well, when our brothers and sisters are doing things that are not right, that there's even instructions in the word of how we can address that as well. God has everything in his word, everything in his word. And the more that we are in his word, allowing Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, we are going to be allowing him to transform us from the inside out. So God gives us instruction. His word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Matthew 4 verse 4, this is where Jesus is being tempted by Satan. And Jesus told Satan, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, Satan had just said to Jesus, you know, if you're God, you can turn these stones into bread. And that was his response. Jesus quoted scripture from the Old Testament, and he's quoting Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. And I just want to read this particular verse because it says, yes, this is God speaking to his people. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, I'm bringing in this Old Testament. I'm bringing in Deuteronomy because Timothy knew the scriptures as well. He knew the Old Testament so well. And when we look at scripture and we see that Jesus says, we don't just live by the food that we eat. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That verse in Deuteronomy is God. There's a whole passage. I'd really encourage you to read the whole passage of scripture in Deuteronomy 8 because it's God telling his people when the Israelites, when he was leading them through the wilderness, into the promised land, and he says, remember my decrees, obey my commands, trust me. I allowed you to go hungry so that you would trust in me, and that I provided the miraculous food from heaven that was manna that you've never even seen before. And as you trusted me for each day for that food and for that spiritual food as well, that you will know that I'm your God, and that you will remember that, you know, your clothes didn't wear out, you didn't get blisters on your feet, that I led you through those 40 years of being in the wilderness to bring you to a place where you could trust me completely in my provision, in my daily bread, so that you would live by not just the food that I would give you, but by every word that comes from my mouth. And he led them into the promised land. He says that he promised that to them. And he says, you know, when you get there, I'm going to bless you abundantly with amazing food and beautiful homes and it's just amazing abundance of God and blessing of God. But he also says, be careful. You know, don't forget that I am your God. Don't forget that I'm your source for everything. and that you need to remain humble before me and just keep trusting me every single day. We live by every single word that is in his word. The last part of this verse, verse 17, talks about completion. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version, where it says in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This word completion in the word means that you will be led into everything that you need. When we are both hearers and doers of his word, that is completion. Because we will be thoroughly equipped for every situation and circumstance that we are in as we have heard the word, we know the word, and then we act and we do and we obey. That is completion. When we come to his word and let him speak to us, we're changed, we're completed, we're transformed. We need to be in his word, in his word. We need to understand how precious and valuable and how his whole word is inspired by him. It's God breathed. These aren't words from fallible human people. This is the word of God that is infallible, that is, you know, before the time even began, before you're even here, he spoke his word. He was here. He was, oh, just incredible, his word. Again, when I was a new believer and I would allow the word to be in my heart and I would remember scripture, and there's one passage of scripture, Galatians 5, 22-23, that has really, you know, just stayed with me for all this time. And it says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. The previous verses list a whole bunch of, you know, bad behaviors. And that passage of scripture that I had meditated on at the very start of my journey with the Lord has stayed with me. You know, I keep remembering, okay, am I patient in this situation? Or am I being impatient? I want the fruit of the time that I have been in his word to overflow out into other people's lives. I want people to see the good fruit that he has done in my life through being in his word and allowing his word to transform my heart and my spirit from the inside out. That people will see the goodness because he is good. That people will see that I have been faithful because he has been faithful. That people will see the love and patience and the kindness that I can give because he has loved me, because he has been patient with me, because he is so kind to me. And it can only come from time in his word, from time in his presence, from time in prayer. It's in the secret places that he transforms us. You know, I have really felt, as I've been praying for this message, that God is calling each one of you into a deeper knowledge of his word, but also into a deeper relationship with him. I know there's a lot of you here that have been faithful followers over so many years. And God wants to take you deeper into his word. God wants to take you deeper into his wisdom and revelation of his word for you, so that you are just going to grow even more, so that you will have an even better understanding of who he is and what he's going to do in your life and those around you. It's a word from the Lord. He wants you to know him so intimately, as you just understand that he has breathed his word into existence for you. Be passionate in your pursuit for knowing the inspired word of God. If I could get the worship team up, that would be fantastic. You know, I just, if I can just encourage you to be actively living on His word each day of your life. You know, that manna that came from heaven, that provision that God gave, that we are to live on His word, on His daily bread. We're to eat His word. We're to come and drink from Him and know Him and know His goodness and His faithfulness. And so Paul encouraging Timothy, continue to be faithful in what you know to be true. Hold steadfast to the word of God. Even in times that are difficult, even though people may discourage you or just say that, you know, what you're doing is not true, you know what you've been taught. You know the truth. And hold on to that. And allow Him to continue to bring correction, to bring transformation, to teach you and to train you so that you'll become more and more like Christ. Church, can I get you to stand this morning?